The Federal Treasurer has kicked off his campaign to sell this year's federal budget, due in just under 3 weeks from now. Jim Chalmers yesterday gave a wide-ranging press conference where he was at pains to point out the ongoing risks from inflation and the global economic uncertainty caused by the wars in Ukraine and the Middle East. And his comments come ahead of tomorrow's inflation figures, which will be keenly watched by the Reserve Bank and householders alike.
Inflation has come off substantially since its peaks in 2022, but we know that it's not mission accomplished because people are still hurting. And you can expect to see in the budget a focus on cost of living help. A tax cut for every taxpayer will be the centrepiece of the cost of living help in the budget. And if we can afford to do a little more than that, then those decisions will be taken in the next week or two.
Shane Wright is the senior economics correspondent for the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age and joins us now. Hi there, Shane.
Good afternoon, Kath.
Now, the Treasurer was unsurprisingly circumspect when talking about budget outcomes there. What are the known knowns right now? What can we take as a given?
That he'll probably announce a budget surplus for the current financial year, which at the mid-year update, which is only less 4 months ago, he revised downward anyway from an expected deficit of about $19 billion to $1 billion. And the figures at this point suggest he'll have a second successive budget surplus. It's been a long time between drinks for Australia to have two successive budget surpluses. So that's the grounding of it. But this is the budget for the 24-25 financial year, and that we're looking at probably like maybe a balanced budget. Mm. It depends a lot on how much revenue comes out of this, the continuingly strong jobs market, and this is what he's been touching on, what's going on internationally and what that means for commodity prices and all the revenue that flows through from there. So that's the starting point for the budget bottom line, which ultimately is pretty important at a macro level, be it inflation, be it the state of the economy during what will be the federal election is going to be held somewhere in the next 12 to 14 months covering this very period.
Mm. You mentioned those international factors there. The Treasurer has just returned from an overseas trip with caution about what he called a fraught and fragile global economy. At the same time in recent days, the IMF has expressed relief at the global economic resilience. What do you read into those comments from the Treasurer and then how he'll approach, keeping the economy going without stoking inflation?
Well, the economy has been performing really poorly, and there's no way you can cut it in any other way. Like, if it wasn't for population growth, the country would have been in a recession for the last 9 months. Mm. That's how, and people aren't feeling it because we've got a situation where the unemployment rate is extremely low, and normally with such poor economic outcomes, the economy would be really sagging, but it is not. And this is what's going on in most other countries as well. The economies are continuing to grow despite high interest rates and high inflation. What was interesting about the IMF is, yes, we've survived, but their outlook is like they are very troubled about the next 3, 4, 5 years, all the way through the rest of the decade, just saying we are looking at really bad outcomes in terms of, like, not since the 70s sort of bad outcomes, and a lot of that is tied up to China, which, oh, that's right, Australia's biggest cash cow is China, and economic growth there is slowing.
What does that mean for the narrow path and Australia achieving that soft landing?
Well, you just hope the Treasurer and the Reserve Bank have both got the dead set middle of the balance pole that they're using to negotiate the path. Mm-hmm. Because the Reserve Bank itself, look, the Reserve Bank has not hit its inflation target since Joe Hockey was Treasurer.
Yeah, wow.
We're going back a long time. And so they've missed it on the downside, and this was part of the problem that Australia had leading up to the pandemic. And like most other central banks, they've missed it on the upside. So as you mentioned, like the figures out tomorrow, you'll probably see inflation around 3.5%, not – we haven't seen an inflation rate that low since 2021, but that is still a fair bit above what the Reserve Bank's target is.
Yeah, so then what does that mean for rates? You know, all eyes is on this March quarterly data out tomorrow, and there is expectation, I believe, in the market for a small uptick.
It won't be an uptick. It'll be a fall because the March quarter of last year was 1.4. We're looking at a 0.6, 0.7. So it's, something's got to give, and it will be inflation at 3.5. The monthly measures have been suggesting that inflation is coming down a little bit quicker than expected. You could see a 3.3 or 3.4, not out of possibilities, which would mean, right, the Reserve Bank is a bit further progressed in terms of where it thinks inflation is going to be. So a lot of the turmoil on international markets over the last 2 months has been everyone thinking, oh, America is pushing back when it may be cutting rates there. That means, oh, the rest of the world's inflation issues are the same. They're not. Mm-hmm. And anyone who lives in this country who's got a mortgage knows variable interest rates mean what the Reserve Bank has done over the last 2 years has really caused a lot of pain to a third of the population and very quickly.
Yeah, being those mortgage holders. So it falling for an annual rate, but a very slight uptick of those quarterly. So it wasn't December 0.6%, the December one. So, yeah, so sorry for that confusion there. I mean, Jim Chalmers yesterday spoke of, you know, sticky inflation and dampening economic growth. How is this inflation targeting and where inflation's at the moment going to play into the budget papers?
Well, this is the another – he's in the middle of that balance poll he's holding there. The tax cuts that come in from July 1, stage 3 is worth about $23 billion over 12 months. That's a fair pulse of income coming in for people – for into a jobs market that is still super tight. So he has to find a way of, for instance, there'll be further relief around electricity prices and gas prices, which will be – again, couched as cost of living. He has to find a way to balance that against allowing people, giving people money in a super tight jobs market, which might then just be spent pushing up prices. And then that's where your sticky inflation comes from.
Yeah. In the last minute that we've got, Shane, negative gearing was back on the table today, in fact, with calls from both David Pocock and Jackie Lambie for an overhaul. Is there any chance that either party will touch it? And what could, if they don't touch that, what could tax reform look like? Where do they need to start?
They won't touch it. Like, Labor's still hiding in the dark from what happened in 2019 when they ventured into negative gearing and capital gains tax and the intersection of them. The Coalition has still got its policy to deal with housing by letting people tap their superannuation, so that'll add to price pressures in that sector. The government is throwing a lot of money in terms of supply, but the interaction of tax, of states, land supply, migration – there's a whole lot of things that could be done, but no one really wants to throw it all together because it's such a big problem.
Stamp duty, GST, payroll tax.
There you go. You've just opened three Pandora's boxes of problem, political problems.
Yeah.
And anyone who says they know exactly how the interaction of all those will flow into the property market, look, they've probably got a bridge they could sell you in Sydney.
Shane Wright, it's always great speaking with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Cheers, Kath.
Shane Wright is the Senior Economics Correspondent for the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age.